John Anderson in as our Cousin Sub of the Day. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Begins now. We'll get to trivia coming up next. But before we do, I just went back in my archives to come upon the montage of This Is SportsCenter commercials that you were in. The rain delay one is a classic. You faking the ankle injury like a soccer player going through the halls of ESPN is a classic. There's one where Bon Jovi is playing a quasi-concert in, like, the newsroom.
That's the first one I did.
There's the one where you're taking Archie Manning and Peyton and... which is my personal favorite.
That is a great one.
And Eli, and Peyton's kicking Eli, and they're doinking each other in the ear as they're not paying attention to your tour. When you look back on those, and obviously there were some great ones that didn't involve you as well, but your favorite ones that you did, what's on the list?
The Manning one was really good. It was fun. Those guys were great. The favorite part of that one is it's worth, if anybody's got older brothers or knows the birth order, is they did the whole thing. And then at the end, the director said, now let's do one where Eli, you know, kicks Peyton and that's the end. And Peyton said, no, we're not going to do that. And the guy said, no, we'll put it on tape. We'll see. We probably won't use it. And he said, no, we're not going to do that. And now their older brother, the oldest brother, Cooper's like, yeah, we're not going to do that. And they asked one more time, and they finally, Peyton just stopped. He said, you don't understand. Eli doesn't win. Eli's never won in this family, and Eli's not winning today, even if it's just for one take. And Eli just sat there and didn't say a word, took it all. Didn't move. And that's my favorite part of what happened in that one is they were just crushing it. And he didn't go, well, guys, come on, let me just do it once. Didn't say boo to advocate for himself. He's just like, I've had this argument my entire life. I know how this is going to end. I'm not even going to waste my breath on this thing. And it turns out they never did shoot it, which was kind of fun. That was great. I did one with Maria Sharapova, which I thought, well, she walked in and she had a little dog like in a bowling bag and all, this is going to be Diva City. She could not have been nicer. She was fantastic. I was signing a bridge loan to my home that we were building, and I told him I got to leave at 2 o'clock. And these things always run over and like, yeah, whatever. So 2 o'clock came and I explained that I had to leave and I would be back. And I literally ran down, drove down in 2 minutes to where the bank was, signed the paper. I was back in like 17 minutes. And she's like, oh, where are you building? Oh, what size house do you have? She couldn't have been nicer. And then when I went back the next day to literally pick up the papers, because that's how quickly I left, the guy goes, man, you were in a hurry. I hope I didn't take you away from anything. He said, I was just having lunch with Maria Sharapova. And he had a ha, ha, ha. And I went back in there again. I had a picture from the deal. And I said, here I was. And the guy's like, wow, I'm sorry. And he bumped up my money market like a half a point for the inconvenience of breaking up my lunch with Maria Sharapova. So she was, they were all kind of fun like that. They were the number of guys that, or gals that saw that as some validation of their career.
Yeah.
Was a big point. And honestly, the first one I did with Bon Jovi was sort of like that for me. Like I always joke, my buddies until that first commercial came out, thought I was there, but I just was sort of I was shamming Chris Berman's car. After it came out of the wash, out of the car wash until, you know, because it was on ESPN News and nobody knew where to find news. It did pop up for like a half hour on ESPN or ESPN2. And then you always had to show to the fishing show Spanish Fly, which just made you laugh at the end of it. So when I finally did the Bon Jovi commercial and it came out, like all my buddies like, oh, maybe he actually works there. I didn't even know. Like they didn't, you know, so that was sort of a violation. But there were just a bunch of Steve Irwin, the Crocodile Hunter, was great because he did that with we're in a break and he said, God rest his soul. He goes, how am I doing? I'm not my best. I have a torn ACL. I'm gonna getting that fixed like on Wednesday. And so he's tackling an alligator with a torn ACL and he's doing it with such vigor that they're gluing Albert's teeth back into his mascot head between takes. It was there was just a load of funny things that happened when you did them. It was really kind of, it was great, you know?
One other question I want to ask, because I know you don't love talking about yourself, so let me pivot this slightly. How competitive, maybe competitive is the wrong word, but like how big of a deal was it for you and for Buchegras and for Levy? Like, were you guys always hoping that, you know, you got one of these assignments and that yours was funnier than Van Pelt's or whatever? Like, was there a healthy, or was it all just, these are all going to be funny and we're just all going to enjoy them?
Yeah, it was more like they were always funny. Very few were ever written for people specifically, right? Scott being in the back of the BMW with the Wanamaker trophy and Beamer, like that was written Scott-wise. When they did Usain Bolt, because he was a track guy, I went and I did, you know, that every once in a while you'd get one. But most of them, they'd be like, hey, can you come tomorrow morning? Like, dude, I'm doing the show till 3 a.m. And they go, okay, cool. We'll have Robert Flores do it. And so a lot of them were just parceled out, you know, in that regard. So when we did Usain Bolt, I took my son out of school. He was in second grade. And I told my wife, like, that record's going to stand till he's 50. So we need to have him come. But I made him write a little story so he could take it back and explain to his teacher why he had left. So he writes this little story. Literally, my dad is not the fastest man in the world. Him. Because everybody thinks their dad's the fastest man in the world for a long time. My kid had it blown by Usain Bolt in second grade. Like literally. And so he does it. And then Bolt signs his homework. Please excuse Colin, Usain Bolt. And we turn it in and we never got it back.
What?
Like the teacher just kept it. I don't know if the teacher has it. I don't know if the teacher threw it away. But he literally, please, it was like Epstein's mother. Please excuse Colin from being absent. Usain Bolt, little 969 or whatever his world record was at the time. And we never got it back. I'm like, I can't believe we just gave away your signed story about Usain Bolt. And it was terrible. But
need to track that teacher down.
Most of them, they just came around. You just kind of, if you were in the area, you fell into them. Once in a while, they did stuff. Steve Levy, when he did the one with Alex Ovechkin, you know, because he's a hockey guy, so right. He did that. But every once in a while, but for the most part, you know, hey, are you free for 3 hours to come shoot this? And you're like, sure, I'll go do that.
Well, we will. I found a video that has kind of the highlights from when you were bidding farewell to SportsCenter. So we'll share that on our social media channels for those that have not seen some of these. The clips are really good. There's one with Dwayne Wade in it as well.
Yeah.
Where he's cutting highlights and you're impatient.
Going too slow and he yells at me. Yeah, that was one. That was, yeah. And there were some, like some are really low key. Like, you just end up doing stuff. Like, why am I sitting in my underwear playing poker with Johnny Chan and Texas Slim or whatever the hell these people are? You know? And you're like, okay, I guess. Well, sure, we'll do that. You know? Like, it's just, I don't know. I like to talk about those because those were really fun and they actually don't involve me, right? They're so about the athlete that's there.
Right.
Making them look good and you don't really ever have to say anything. Although I do tell people, if all you watch is the Manning commercial for the gag, you're really missing high comedy that I hit just because they're like, just make something up about the tour. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, that would be me thinking that somewhere is always the sight gag is taking away from the copy, which is really sad, as you know.
Dave in Deerfield. Yeah. Charlie Steiner with his tie on his head. Follow me to freedom was great.
Yeah, that was just before I got there when he did that one. So, and then they had some, like, in that little montage you show, they have the hooligans break a bottle over my head, and then somebody complained that that wasn't the right thing to do. We were promoting violence, so that one got yanked off. Like, there's all kinds of stuff. My favorite, you know, when they like they did Manny being Manny and then he got traded. So that one had to go in the closet right away for whoever was Van Pelt and Jay Harris or somebody. But yeah, they were always fun to hang out and do. And like I said, the guys are always, that's where you find out like they're really actually just normal people.
Right.
I mean, you know that, you know, right. Like, and they want to be treated like that to some degree. right? They also feel like they've earned a place of respect, which they totally have.
Right.
So long as you do that and express, like, listen, I get it. You are an NBA All-Star. You're an NBA, like, you, but they also have, you know, I tell me all the time, I can remember, this is a huge name drop flex, but the one British Open I went to, that got to cover, which was at St. Andrews. And there I am on the road hole 17 visiting with Tiger Woods. And he's telling me about how Sam, his daughter, thought she hates, she hates golf. I was telling him my daughter kind of likes playing it, and he goes, she hates it because every time she sees my clubs, she knows that daddy's leaving.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, that's such a human thing.
Like, right.
She sees his clubs, knows that dad's leaving. And in those moments, you realize that all these people, though, for whatever they do, however good they are at it, for whatever money they make, they're still people that deal with the exact same thing that you do if you have to pack up and take everybody to the owner's meeting with a nine-week-old or all those other things, you know,
right.
And you kind of lose that. And when you're around them, that's kind of one of the nice things you get to find out is that they're actually not little people that do their thing inside your TV. They're actually, you know, real life human beings with real life stuff, even if they can, you know, afford when they're, you know, when their refrigerator breaks or their car breaks down to just get a brand new car instead of having to go worry about how much it costs to fix in the shop. But, you know, that was the coolest part of seeing some of the human element of who those people are.
I love that. I'm glad we had time to do that. And now we need to play trivia. Jesse, what is today's category and what caller would you like?
It is Wisconsin Geography Wednesday, and it is presented by Up North Joe, my buddy from up north. He's back
north
after celebrating the birth of their baby daughter last week. Congratulations to Joe and Mrs. Up North Joe.
Mrs. Up North Joe. All right, we'll take caller 10. Caller 10, 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. We'll play trivia next after Tausch tells us about Coors Light. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. Well, whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, or celebrating a big win after the game, or you just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans, they turn blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection, which, besides the refreshing taste, is my favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold at only 102 calories, Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Before we can play trivia, by the way, is Anderson one of these prima donnas who doesn't read the questions? Do I have to do them all just like Tausch always makes me do?
You'll have to ask John Anderson that.
I have them here. What do you need me to do?
That's
question
what we like
two.
To hear around here. That's a nice change
a
of pace.
How can I help better the program?
Yeah, wow. We're not used to this kind of thing with old T.
We really aren't. This is such a well-oiled machine, this trivia machine, though. It is Wednesday of the following week, and we have yet to pull last week's winner from the cheese fry helmet, which creates issues if there are players from last week trying to play this week.
An oversight. Jim, Matt, and Molly filled in for us all on Friday. An oversight that we did not draw the trivia winner. I was made aware of that today. I apologize to everybody who played last week that has been refraining from calling this week to try and win. So here we go. Sorry, everyone. Here is this week's trivia winner. It is Bill in New Berlin from last Wednesday, 1 week anniversary of him playing. Nice job, Bill.
Congrats, Bill, on your slightly delayed
victory.
Better
late than never.
in Wildy and Tausch Trivia. That means if Rick in Madison gets enough questions right today and ends up winning the drawing, he will find out probably Thursday or Friday of next week that he won. Rick, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We are good. The category is Up North Joe, new father, presents Wisconsin Geography Wednesday. Question number one is this. At 143 feet long, the world's largest muskie sculpture is located at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame in which northern Wisconsin town? Is it Hayward, Chippewa Falls?
We gotta get the Chippewa Falls.
Or Muskego?
Hayward.
I was a little worried for you there. Well done. One for one for Rick. Question two goes to John Anderson.
Standing 54 feet tall and able to hold 22,000 barrels of beer, the world's largest six-pack is an attraction found in which of these Wisconsin cities? I thought my backyard would be an option. It is not. La Crosse, Oshkosh, or Whitewater?
La Crosse.
That's a no hesitation.
That's a
there.
That's a trivia question. I like you learned that. You learned that right after you learned the alphabet in kindergarten.
Rick, you're two for two. Here is question three. It is this.
There's a theme here.
At 38 feet 11 inches tall, and weighing 7,500 pounds, the world's largest potato masher is located at the Food and Farm Exploration Center near which of these Wisconsin towns? Is it near Bonduelle, Plover, or Ripon?
I'm going to go with Ripon.
I was there yesterday. But there was no potato masher.
If only Tausch was here.
Does Tausch knows the potato corridor? Does he know a lot about Plover outside of Stevens Point? I don't know.
Every time we mention Plover, he knows it's in the potato corridor that he loves so much.
Rick, it was a good run. You got two out of three. That means you got three of the possible four entries into Friday's drawing, if it actually occurs on Friday.
Right.
Thanks for playing, buddy. We appreciate you.
Take care, guys.
That is Wildy and Tausch Trivia. Thanks to Rick for playing. John Anderson is a Wisconsin native. Would you have gone three for three there?
I would have only because I could have. The third one I would have been able to do by the process of elimination. I wouldn't have known it was in Plover, but I know it's not over there in Old Bonduelle. I know it's not in Bonduelle. And Ripon is only famous for ripping good cookies and the washers and dryers. So I would have gotten that just by process of elimination. The other two I knew.
By the way, as a former track and field athlete of some renown, you would have been impressed. Ripon College has an incredible indoor track facility.
Nice.
It was really amazing there yesterday, and we're proud of our pole vaulter who managed to score 1 point for her high school team in her first pole vaulting as a freshman varsity pole vaulter. So it's a fun day yesterday.
It's a big day.
We're supposed to get in our letter.
We are. We got one more meet to go. We ran the mile last week, and now we got this one. So we got one more meet to go.
How high of a pole vault could you get over, Jason?
So I have gone to her practices. Our friend Tara Clack, friend of the program and friend of the Wisconsin track program, her father having converted one of his warehouses to give the Wisconsin track team an indoor facility to practice at because the university knocked down the old one without having a new one for them, and they are a nationally renowned championship contending program. She pole vaulted. I've seen her do it. I have watched Maddie do it. There are a couple of really, really good pole vaulters that go to Maddie's club that she goes to, the Green Bay Pole Vault Club. And there were some dudes yesterday that were getting up there. I think one cleared 12 feet, which, to put that in perspective, as I said to Sydney, that would be, because she's our basketball player, that would be like pole vaulting well over the top of the backboard on your basketball court. So put that in perspective. I'm 5'10". I'm not sure I could clear my own height. Let me put it that way.
So I have, can I tell pole vault stories?
You certainly may.
I measured the pole vault world record once, an indoor pole vault world record of 19.25 by Joe Dial. He did it in Columbia. There were only two of us, myself and Andy Joslin, who were tall enough on top of the ladder to actually eyeball it. So I once got to certify a world record in the pole vault.
Are you scared of heights? That's a really high to go up on a ladder.
Nope. So that was pretty. That was kind of fun. The current world record in the pole vault, I like to think, Juan Duplantis is a very good friend of mine who I like to play. We've played golf before, and it's sick that the guy can vault 20 feet and make 12-foot putts, which is gross. But I have a theory about track and field. I'd love to hear what you have to say. I think part of the reason people like golf because they watch golf on TV and you can go play golf. Mm-hmm. And people like tennis because you can watch tennis and I go into the park and play tennis. But they don't at the park have javelins sitting around, and they don't have pole vault equipment. I feel like if they would put pole vault equipment at every public park like they do tennis courts, it would be the second leading killer of young men in America. Because they would just go to try it. They'd try it at all hours. They'd try it at different stages of drunkenness. And I think it would be kind of fun, if not for the liability, if we could watch track and field on TV and go, cool, let's go down to the park and pole vault this afternoon, like we do when we play tennis.
You need to have like those like sumo suits that you put on for like safety to like bounce around. You'd have to do something like that to make it, you know, accessible.
No helmets, nothing. No helmets, nothing. Let's just let them go. Like, you want to talk about natural selection, thinning the herd. That would be amazing.
You're fitting right in on this show because there are times when Tausch says things and I'm like, where? How did your brain go there? I will just say this. One of the great things about what I get to do for a living is that I get to be around all kinds of people in all different types of athletic pursuits where I look and go, oh my God, I can't believe this person can do that, right? Whether it's Aaron Rodgers throwing a football, whether it's watching some of the great basketball players that I've covered through high school, college, and NBA, you know, watching Ray Allen make like 35 three-pointers in a row at a Bucks practice at the old Cousins Center. Like, those are things that even though I could go play basketball at the park by my house, I can't do what he does. And when I go to a track meet, which I covered plenty of those, both at the high school and college level during my career, I watch a lot of people that I am just mystified by what they're capable of doing. The Fosbury flop that high jumpers like yourself do, the way that they do that, there were some kids doing that yesterday when I walked into the track meet. I am just blown away by what they're capable of doing. And they're all things, you know, running fast, not on my list. Throwing a shot put 43 feet or whatever Thea Krall throws it, the Wisconsin Gatorade Player of the Year, no idea. Going over a pole vaulting bar. And by the way, not knocking it over, not with your butt as you go over it, but also you have to throw the pole away so that doesn't knock it over. All things that I don't know how these folks do it. And it's fun to watch Maddie do it, but I am astounded by all of them. So track and field has always been, Tausch gives me grief about it. Maybe because I had a crush on someone that I was covering once upon a time, but that's another story for another day. The bottom line is
snap.
pretty impressive. Also impressive is how short of amount of time now this will leave for Wonelli, which is usually by design on this program. Before we can even get to Wonelli, though, again, I need to remind you that the home opener is almost here. It's time to get those tailgate grills out and grab your groceries. Opening day in Milwaukee arrives next Monday. The unofficial start of summer happens with the Brewers home opener, and ESPN Wisconsin will be all over it. Sponsored by Carbless, ready-to-drink cocktails. You hear Brad Nortman talk about them all the time. Live shows from inside the ballpark, special guests all day, and an unmatched excitement for the crew as ESPN Wisconsin will carry every pitch of the home opener. Opening day on ESPN Wisconsin is sponsored by Carbless. Grab a pack today and be the MVP of your tailgate. Happy baseball season. Wonelli is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. Give me a show.
Abbreviated Wonelli.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Siraco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Wonelli
on Wildy and Tausch.
So, John, something happened a little earlier in the show that I wanted to check the replay on here for those watching along on the video stream with us on YouTube on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison.
Oh, boy.
This was back in the first hour of the show. I know it's vacation week, but let's go check the replay here. Here's a Pepsi in the right hand going down the hatch as you're finishing it off here. Yep. And then, so go there it goes. At left hand comes up Pepsi and it goes down the hatch, too. What?
How did I miss this?
What happened? Were you
two-fisted slopper?
Were you double-fisting Pepsis in the first hour of the show today?
No, I don't know why that came across that way. I am on my second, though. I'm, you know, and I am amphibious, so I can use either hand when I drink. But
yep, heard that.
It is. But no, I don't know how you cobbled that together.
There was no cobbling. This was just playback here. Look, again, let's check the right hand. Did you make the switch that fast? So again, finish. Yep, that Pepsi is gone.
Yeah, we're good.
Where'd this one come from?
No, I don't know how that works. Because I only have one. Only had one.
Wait a minute, Jesse. There's
creative editing.
Yeah, no editing. Yeah, no editing involved there.
I would say that tape is doctored for sure. Isn't that what we say?
It's
about
a deep fake. It's a deep fake.
I'm not good enough at this stuff to make deep fakes.
That's actually fair. That's actually very fair.
We got Pepsi. We love Pepsi. We love Pepsi
Great
Zero
partner,
Sugar.
Yeah.
Proud partner of the NFL draft. I'm going to tell everybody about them in a minute here. But the two Pepsis in the 9 o'clock hour of the show going right away back, like, whether it was one Pepsi
sure
or
like
two, that's you really did a nice, solid job with them there. That's all I got. Salute to you, sir.
Yeah. I don't, like I said, I'm not sure how that was cobbled together, but I only had one, and now I'm on my second. But and that's just by the end of the day, I'll have had 5 or 6, which is terrible for me. But that's okay. It's my one vice.
If you are not watching, there are certain times when I would say that as good as our show is audio-wise, there are moments that the video crew gets a little bit better experience, and this would be one of those times. Wonelli.
Yeah.
Oh. Wonelli!
And that's all we have time for, unfortunately. We'll save the rest for tomorrow. You'll never get to experience the rest of Wonelli, John.
There's going to be a real void in your life, John Anderson. We'll wrap things up. With John Anderson, our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs we believe in better. More next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
If they're not better this year,
because we're on Wisconsin Sports,
there's going to be a lot of seats warming up.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back home around the way. It seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know.
John Anderson, my brilliant time management leaves us 45 seconds in the show.
Wow.
You finished off a Sports Center or two abruptly. The floor is yours to say the end of the program.
That's where my friend Bill Pito would always be like, if they came out with 20 seconds, he'd be like, what are we going to take calls? What do I do with 20 seconds? Just dock the boat when we come through. I've heard it several times throughout the show, the spot that's run. I am elated for the Badger women's hockey team. I always tell people, like, I love the Packers, I love the Brewers, I love the Bucks. Do you have a favorite hockey team? And I'm always like, well, the 1980 Olympic team, but they only played for a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And then it's always been Badger hockey. Is just when I grew up on that as a kid, watching the replays on PBS. And so that the women's Badger hockey team won again and capped what was a historic season with a clutch penalty shot. Would you want to take that? All the good ones do. I would have cowered mm-hmm. in fear. Congratulations to them. And they now match the boxing team as the most decorated program in school history, which is amazing. When you go, like, I get some people would argue the rowers, but those aren't NCAA championships. They're still natties. But that we finally have matched the boxing team. And for the great Mark Johnson, made my week, and then I can't wait for tomorrow when the Brewers season starts, because that's really all I need in my life is a Brewers World Series. I might even forgive Kansas if that would happen.
Go hit the beach. Go spend time with your family. Thanks for spending time with us. You're the best. That is
you guys
John
are
Anderson.
Great for having me anytime.
He is one of the all-timers, and we're lucky to have him on our team. We're lucky to have you coming along for the ride with us on this show every day. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.